Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. All of you out there, I get emails from asking me, who do I watch? Who do I trust? Who do I think is really on top of things? And he doesn't come out much, but I have gotten one of the people that I have not only followed this whole time, but has been a real support on the back end to me and kept me going no matter what was going on. I could tune into Bernie at Truth in RTV and feel like I was getting the truth. There was no BS. And this person really believes in God and country first and foremost. Thank you for joining me, Bernie from Truth in RTV.
Hey, Mel. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me on again.
Well, you don't get out there much. You know, my audience knows I've been censored. I've been silenced. I've been marginalized. I've been slandered. Let me tell you something, and everyone always says, oh, it's because you're over the target. Bernie has been over the target for 12 years on all the things we talk about. There's so much that this man knows. And so if you are not subscribed to Truth in RTV on Rumble, or him and I were both never got back our Twitter, so we started over there and anywhere else, you really should start following Bernie. This next year is going to be rough, and you want somebody who's just going to give it to you straight, and that's his gift. So, Bernie, if you could tell my audience just a little bit about your background that hasn't seen you here before, and then we'll get into a bunch of stuff that you're on the front lines over.
Sure. Well, I'm kind of a jack of all trades. I originally come from a family of faith. I grew up in church. My dad was a pastor. My mom was a missionary, that kind of thing. So I come from a conservative type family and from New York City originally. And I did a lot of things. I joined the Marine Corps for 4 years and I was doing great. And then for many, many years, I got into the academia side of things. And that included all the way up through psychology degree and MD. I went through med school at Ross University School of Medicine. But after 2 years in the medical profession, I walked away for many reasons. And I found myself on the West Coast, did a lot of partying. And I worked in Hollywood a little bit, in and out, learned how to produce and kind of did a lot of odd jobs and stuff. And around 2008, 2009, you know, starting with the Obama years, I started getting caught up in the information war. Yep. And I started kind of reading the Bible a little more and kind of get back to my roots. And things got really hot and heated. By the time we get to like 2009, 2010, I start joining these groups. And having been a person with a lot of background, I was always, you know, early on, I started writing articles and leading We Are Change, which is a worldwide organization, the Los Angeles chapter. Before you knew it, I'm breaking up these COINTELPRO operations in Los Angeles. And I'm seeing the obvious lies. So by the time 2010, 2011, 2012 came around, I was already had made articles and, excuse me, videos kind of monitoring the Obama years and the whole 9/11 issues and other big conspiracies that people are up to now. So, yeah. And, you know, that's really what I've been doing. Wrote over 1,000 articles and really started making a lot of videos around 2015, 2016, right around when Trump came around. And everything else is history. Been producing every day since probably 2016-ish, and or, you know, 3, 4, 5 times a week.
Right.
As you said, I've been blocked and banned by a lot of people, especially after Trump came around and we were narrating the Trump years and kind of blowing a lot of things open. A lot of these conspiracies and the enslavement of humanity, what the solutions are. Right. And realizing that we were actually in a battle between good and evil. And by 2018, I really rededicated my life to Christ. And I think my channel, the content of my channel changed a little to where I'm not dependent on politicians only. I realized that in the end, we're really in a battle between good and evil.
Yeah.
And we're kind of looking at the big picture And yeah. here I am on Mel's show. I don't know if that's a recap.
No, but that's the truth. And what you're saying right now, I do want people to understand there was a giant purge on YouTube very early on to silence anyone that was talking about the back channel, anyone that was talking about the military, and anyone that was saying anything against the globalist narrative. And a lot of people remember that X22 was purged and a lot of other people, including Bernie's channel from YouTube. So
October
when we
15th.
All... Right. So when we all watched the original purge, and I believe 13 people and then sued, which now the YouTube files finally are brought out by Jim Jordan today, as if they haven't known the whole time.
The October 15th, 2020, boom. A lot of us got our channels terminated. And as you guys know, a lot of other channels and platforms terminated channels like mine.
Right.
For discussing this online thread of information. Right. Most of which we already knew, but information that made us aware, that gave us orientation to what's happening behind the scenes during the Trump years, as right. it pertains to this war against these globalist, Marxist, Nazi world order. So, yeah, it's been a battle of information since then.
Yeah, and you, I just took a little note there. Okay, and you, on top of that, I just want to say, we... really dug into your Muslim Brotherhood series, and you also did a whole series on the reintroduction of Nazism into this country on your VIP channel, which was behind the scenes. But what's really interesting is both of those special series on your Behind the Paywall VIP channel ended up really playing a huge role in the last, you know, year more than ever. So let's talk big picture right now in terms of what you see of where we are in this war, good versus evil. Because I keep saying to everyone, my audience is probably sick of it. You know, there was that whole story saying that, like Trump saying, they're not after me, they're after you and I'm in the way. And I keep saying, everyone's got to reframe this to they're not after America, they're after the world and America's in the way. So the controlled demolition of America is by design. But you, on many of your, especially your deep dives, have said that this was a long game, that they're really in their last phase of this destruction, pulling America off the board.
Yeah, there's so many parts to this. I'll do my best to summarize it for your audience. Right. There's a lot of angles to this, and it's never easy to try to simplify something this big. But the fact of the matter is, whether you want to call it the Nazi world order and the fact that the Nazis were never fully defeated in World War II, or whether you want to contemplate on the rise of Marxism from the 60s and the deconstruction of America that started as early as 1954 with the Johnson Amendment, and as we walked into the 60s and the turn on, tune in, drop out, and the removal of school prayer and 62 and the whole mark, whether you want to look at it from that angle. Some people are obsessed with the banking story. Oh, look at the Federal Reserve and look at this and the Titanic. So everyone has a different angle on how to view what is ultimately the same story.
Right.
You know, we have the Christian saying, well, biblical times. We have the prophecy, the reunification of Israel. That's a big prophecy being fulfilled. That's another angle. So that's the first thing I would say to you, to your audience, is that everyone has a different take, a different angle, a different interest in what is otherwise the same story.
Yeah.
The reason I brought up the angle of the far right and the Nazi ideology in America years ago in my series, and before that I had been talking about it, in my personal case, was because when I was in these groups back in Los Angeles that were interested in talking about 9/11, back then I noticed this far right element that was, you know, everything had to be Israel's fault. So I started researching that angle and realized, wait a minute, we're dealing with straight down the middle neo-Nazi ideology, because it doesn't just end there. It's about, well, who are the Jews? Who is Israel? What about this and that, you know, and Balfour Declaration, and look at this guy and that guy and the, you know, Rockefellers, and this competition for defining the history of Israel. It's a competition, like the way that the Marxists compete with everyone on the history of the origins of America. when we're talking about the Lincoln Project. So you can't create a movement and you can't keep fighting unless you compete and compete with your audience as to the definition of the original history of that thing.
Right.
So that's, you know, I'm trying to find the best way to simplify all of this. So with that said, so, okay, so let's keep going. I guess we're talking about why I came across with this angle a few years ago about the neo-Nazi ideology. So that is part of it. I had witnessed it with my own two eyes.
Right.
And then I realized that if people do their own research, you go back to World War II and the Hitler regime and the neo-Nazis back then, there's a very tight relationship historically, actually going back even further to the Bolshevik Revolution those days with neo-Nazi ideology and that far-right ideology and the Islam and, you know, and the Muslims. And so they have a common enemy, and that is the Jews. So that people should be aware of that without making this about only Israel and the Jews.
Right.
So
yeah.
that kind of motivated that series. And as you said, yeah, we're seeing it very clearly. The unique thing about here we are at the end of November 2023, and uniquely we can see that the Islam and the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas and the Palestinian people and this whole Islamic, I call it now, the Muslims United Nations.
Right.
The Islam is beautifully merging with globalism, which is beautifully merging with this hatred of the Jews, which is beautifully merging with the Marxists and the George Floyd and you even have Greta marching with the anti-Palestinian people. I say beautiful, obviously I'm being sarcastic, but it is a admirable merging of ideologies that none of us have ever seen before. All of us that had been researching these topics. So I've been telling people now is a great time to truly understand who the bad guys are. They have many faces. It could be Islam, the Islamic Caliphate, everything Obama did. And now you have Biden in a major box. A lot of us that followed the Online Research Project, we were saying Trump was in a box during COVID. Well, right now, Mel, we're watching Biden. Joe Biden is in a box.
Right.
From the beginning, ever since October 7th, 2023, he came across knowing that he has to appear to be with Israel while his administration is making, every day, they're making one move after another to try to undermine what Israel's doing and actually appease Hamas and the Palestinian cause and the Palestinians. So, yeah. But now with the pause, you can see.
Right. Well, also, yeah. Bernie, everyone that's marching in the streets for a ceasefire, I keep saying, who do they think they're asking a ceasefire for? The Joe Biden regime has no power. Nobody's answering to them on the supranational level that you and I mean, I call it the globalist billionaire oligarchy. And I say they have no allegiance to any nation, to any flag. They're this multinational public-private partnership conglomerate that encompasses all of the oligarchs of multiple nations. And who does one think is negotiating a ceasefire? And that's their cause. They're marching around, and it's all sides, because you and I both know 70% of American Jews vote Democrat, they say, and they're all marching too out there. So all these people are marching under the guise of a ceasefire, as if it's an anti-war movement. But who are they asking for to have a ceasefire? Because I believe that it's far above any nation and any particular government to do anything, certainly not the Israelis.
That is a question that any intellectual person should be asking. I agree with you. But the masses are being driven by emotion. It's like being in grade school and somebody comes up and pushes somebody. What you gonna do about it? And they start getting, at that exact moment, if you interviewed the person, why are you about to punch this person? They couldn't give you an answer. They just know that they're about to do it. Boom.
Right,
so they're being driven by emotion but we're watching the emotion in slow motion. And there it is. It actually rhymes. Yeah, we're watching the emotion in slow motion. They're being driven. And this is really at the heart and soul of the information war, as I explained to my audience. Most people don't understand how fifth generation warfare works and how masses are driven to act collectively in a certain way. They're being driven by emotion, by perception, headlines, the sensation of inclusion. What? I can't be wrong in my anger about the Palestinian cause. Why? Because there's like 100 other people around me. They feel, hey, we're, you know, so in groups, individual cognitive reasoning, like the question you're asking me, goes out the window.
Right.
And instead, impulse, emotion, it's really at the heart and soul of groupthink. This is what groupthink is all about. So yeah, they're caught in a groupthink and they're being led by their leaders. When they go everywhere they go, when they open up their phone, they're seeing, this is what the media war is all about, groupthink.
Yeah.
So, and again, each person, they don't know why they're doing it. To answer your question, they do not know. And I mentioned this on my show the other day. You're going to have this vote in, what was it, San Francisco somewhere, Northern California. Okay. And you're passing this thing, this measure. Okay. And now what? Nothing.
Right.
You have nothing. You guys don't control. But it goes to the same thing. You're marching all over the streets and blowing things up for George Floyd in 2020. And then what? Nothing.
Right.
It was the same mentality. And that is at the heart and soul of Marxist deconstruction groupthink. This is what it's all about. We're watching it. Everyone needs to see it.
Yeah. And I think also what you have to dig into, you've done a lot of work also talking about the color revolutions of the last 20 years. And I believe America is in one. And I think it's the same money, the globalist billionaire oligarchy that I identify in their international banking cartel. That's what I call them, that they are all funding this, as they have funded every globalist uprising regime change over the last 20 years, basically, that this is in America. So when I'm watching this right now, these people marching for a ceasefire, as if they don't even know who they're talking to, who they're asking for. I got attacked because I said, why are they putting forth a resolution? 535 people in Washington, D.C., anti-Zion, condemning anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism. You know, a month ago, they condemned anti-Islamophobia. Who are these people? And what is this? This is all theater. This is all ridiculous to me. But the truth is, I really believe that you're talking about the George Floyd incident. Now we're talking about this current uprising, a ceasefire. Now I'm telling you, the next one's going to be demand citizenship, because I've seen them manipulating it. So it's all the same money. And if people understood that this is a billionaire oligarchy, and you've talked many times about Arabella and New Venture Fund and Soros and all this, it's a conglomerate, and they're globalists, and they pose as Americans or it's as Democrats. But to me, they're post-America. They're already done with America. So this is all just manipulation. And these people marching in the street, again, to go back to the Nazi ideology, are basically useful idiots. I mean, I wish people understood that they're playing along with the globalists, walking themselves straight to the suicide of America.
Absolutely. Mel, you're really good at pointing out the factual, intellectual conclusion of what is happening. That is, you're right. And what I'm doing is I'm explaining the psychological mechanism that leads these people and these massive groups to act upon these things that are irrational. So you're right. There is an irrational relationship between what is truly happening and the action that these people are taking. And for your audience, let's keep going, right? So one of the big things is class creation. You and I and everybody that's watching this show, we have watched in the last 2 months a creation of a new class.
Right.
See, before it was like, whoa, feminism, women versus men. And that was damaging enough. I have a theory that I could argue a theory where feminism is the ultimate, the first war that they that broke out that ultimately led to the whole destruction of the, but that aside, back then, you know, many decades ago, it was women Then blacks versus white. Some people say, well, the race one was before the women's, whichever one came first. We've heard of, you know, the last few years now, right? We have gay versus straight, trans versus transphobia. There are so many classes. This is their weapon. And now here we are. Now we've got the pro-Palestinian class.
Right.
And I like what you're saying. I like what you're saying. I see it. Now, real soon, if it's not already in motion, yeah. What? You are against the immigrants? Or not even that, right? They're the migrants, these noble migrants, that they are special people of God. God wants you to be an illegal alien. I mean, a migrant.
Yeah.
You're right. So this is class creation, and we just watched this creation of a brand new class. You're either with the pro-Palestine new class. It's not just a movement. It's not just a certain opinion. It's a class.
Right.
Once you get to the level of class, you are really surrounded by a lot of people. Now, you could never be wrong. What? We are an entire class. How can we be wrong? Get it?
And we're a minority, so we're oppressed.
That's right. We're an oppressed class. So, yeah, this is the template of the Marxist, the whole deconstruction Marxist ideology. Everybody is getting, you're getting a full-on demonstration, a clinic on how this works. And right. Now it's spreading. And now it's like, I mean, you're right. You know, what's soon it's going to be like, we are the pro-terrorism.
Yeah.
You don't like terrorism? Kumbaya. Look at it. We're marching in the streets holding hands. It's class creation.
Oh, I hope you're enjoying the show. I was just talking on my new Patriot Mobile service. I have to tell you, I'm so excited. They are incredible. They are America first. They align with my values. And you know what? It's unlimited minutes, unlimited text, Wi-Fi calling, unlimited data, high speed, everything that you could use, just like everyone else. We have our time, we have our vote, and we have our money. And the great thing about Patriot Mobile is your service will be exactly the same. Difference with Patriot Mobile is they are an America First company. And what they do is they reinvest their money into causes that matter to me and matter to you and matter to this nation. At Patriot Mobile, those causes are the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, the Constitution, and our children's future. So please go to themelkshow.com. Patriot Mobile is a partner of ours. Please use the code MELK. What I can tell you too is that they are supporting me and they are supporting creators because they believe in the First Amendment. They believe that censorship is wrong and they are going to put their money where their mouth is. Do what you can for the creators out there that are doing what I'm doing. Please go to Patriot Mobile, MELK Show. All I can say is thank you so much, guys. Supporting my partners supports me, and Patriot Mobile is absolutely awesome. I checked them out. We're switching to Patriot Mobile, and we hope you do too. Thank you so much.
Right, and they're doing it under the guise of anti-war ceasefire. No. That's not what's going on here. But, you know, I wondered this because you were really way before I found you in 2017. So way before that, you were writing books, you were writing articles about a lot of this stuff. And what I've been looking at, I saw, of course, you know, I always look in the, I always check out what the Obamas are doing. Cause I not that I think they're front. I, you know, you brought up the 50s, 60s, Bill Ayers, Weather Underground, they, you know, Franklin Marshall Davis, they spawned him in my opinion. But I watch him and I saw him on stage last week at his 15th anniversary of his shrine up there, a $300 million shrine known as the Obama Foundation Center in Chicago. And he's on stage celebrating his 15 years in front of his army. And you talk about it sometimes, how he said that he wanted an army of civilians, you know, that would be better than the military because they'd represent America. You know, it's all about representing America. And he's on stage and he starts talking about, well, capitalism has failed. Capitalism has led to slavery and racism and all this stuff. And he says, we should transition to, and he says the words inclusive capitalism. And I remembered two years ago or so during the COVID, Linda Rothschild and the Pope had an inclusive capitalism conference. And I was watching you at the time and I was watching it myself and I'm listening to it. I'm saying, they're talking about global communism. They're talking about this top down. It's not different. And here's Obama on the stage last week throwing out these words. And And you did a lot on Obama back then. And I wonder, because also we've talked about, he signed us up, the United States, for something called Agenda 2030 in 2015, which a lot of people don't know. And the commitment to the 17 goals of the, what I call track and trace, surveillance, dystopian, technocracy, totalitarian, slavery goals. But they, so he did all that. So what is his part in this? Because obviously he's championing totalitarian global communism, in my opinion, but he's re-entering the stage recently.
Yeah, I've been watching that. He is their best speaker to this day. Nobody's more convincing than him. I mean, Bernie Sanders came out the other day sounding like a lunatic. So yeah, no, Barack Obama is still their masterpiece speaker. He's a great speaker. He was a gift to these people for his 8 years, but unfortunately for them, he can only serve for 8 years. So now he's serving his background years. Obviously, he's definitely one of the people running the Biden administration. So yeah, his role, I think, is everything you just described. I think he's just, they're using him. I mean, they rolled him out a couple of weeks ago. I pointed out on my channel when no one was believing Hamas PR department. And they already, I mean, you had a few of these loonies on the far left, the squad, no one believed anything they were saying. AOC made a fool of herself. And then a week later, they rolled out Obama in this kind of comfortable setting where he's sitting there. He looks calm and he's interviewing and letting you know, it ain't that easy. You know, we're going to have to look both ways. And he's pushing the two-state solution. And how, you know, we're going to have to, let's take it easy with this thing, with this war. And, you know, let's see. And he starts doing the very thing that he did for 8 years when he created ISIS. Right. So he's just their, you know, he's their spokesperson. One of the ambassadors for this global agenda. And he's a guy that has a lot of influence. And he did succeed in this young army of people.
Did.
Look at the youth today.
Yeah. Yeah.
I read somewhere the other day where in America, I mean, I've been talking for a while. I mean, I've mentioned it all the time, this fatherlessness and single parent homes. That was one of the things that exploded during the Obama years.
Yeah.
And in the Black community, you have almost 70%, some 64, 65 plus, depending which survey you look at, fatherless homes. Or single parent homes, and Hispanic is close to 50%, 40 something percent. So yeah, when you have deconstruction of the family network, that's what happens. But back to your question. Yeah. I mean, I think that's his role. I think he's, are they setting up for Michelle to come in? That's another, a little far out theory maybe. Yeah. But,
I think
that they know that he's one of the few voices. Here's another thing I want to mention. I mean, the fake news media is slowly caving in. I mean, they're slowly being destroyed, and you have Media Matters being sued. And now the patriots or the populace, or those that just care about America, you don't even have to be a populist. You just have to have common sense. They're starting to fight back. I saw where Rumble is suing an organization for slander and things like that. So we're starting to fight back. They're losing their voice. Time to roll out Obama.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that for sure. And I saw Michelle was at something with like Clooney's wife, Amal Clooney, you know, Aberdeen was there. I mean, like having some kind of summit, and I'm thinking, what is, so that they are reintroducing his power. Cause also I know you covered this too. Obama took credit for the AI Bill of Rights, you know, and that's Eric Schmidt, actually, that's really running that show. Another billionaire oligarch I talk about. I always say, everyone's looking at Gates. How come nobody looks at Eric Schmidt? He's back there running the whole AI and the Department of Defense contracts and all of that. But Obama also reintroduced himself into saying, well, I helped put together the entire AI plan for, you know, Biden put the executive order that they're going to run AI, which, you know, they're not. But that they would like to. So this Obama entry is very interesting. Another thing I'd like your take on too, because there was a long time where people thought, you know, Xi and Putin and Modi and Trump and Ben Salman and all these people are working together to save the planet. And I'm watching G come into San Francisco and clean up the place overnight. He comes in. He's treated like a god, basically. They're not American companies. The multinational globalist CEOs show up to pay $40,000 a head to sit with G, probably not even talk to him, to show their loyalty. We know BlackRock went into a big deal with the biggest oil and gas company the CCP owns in 21 or something. So G comes here, then he leaves. Nobody really pays attention or what was accomplished except for humiliating the United States, as far as I can see. And he takes off and it's out of the news. And there was really no one questioning what is going on here. And everything that Biden has done since the beginning, and I think it has a lot to do with that commitment to Agenda 2030 on that level. But I believe that in that Agenda 2030 commitment, they're talking about, because I've read it on weforum.org, which is the World Economic Forum website. You look at what Rockefeller used to say about China, what Gates says about China, what Larry Fink says about China. It's like they're saying, you know, this new iteration of the one world government, that China's the best to run it because they know how to run their people. So I'm watching this. What's your take on Xi and China and this kind of, I feel like it was like some kind of humiliation ritual for the people of America in front of the whole world, what happened in San Francisco?
Wow. I could see why you would think that. And you're probably right. We don't know. I will say this before I get into answering your question. Let me just kind of put an asterisk. Let me just jump in. There's something you said earlier. I think it's ironic when you talk about Eric Schmidt leading the way in artificial intelligence, AI. I think that's odd because I challenge people to look up. There was an article, I don't know if it was Breitbart or one of those right-wing websites from just the last 24 hours or 48 hours where Eric Schmidt is saying he regrets AI. He's warning the world about AI. He thinks it's a bad idea. And he says that AI is the end of humanity. He's admitting it.
Wow.
And he's sounding like, hey, you guys are. So that's interesting that he was involved. You know, but anyway.
That's interesting. No, I'm glad that you went there. We'll get back to China in a second, because I think I'm pretty sure that Eric Schmidt wrote a book with Henry Kissinger about AI and transhumanism not that long ago. And you know, so I do keep my eyes on him as much as Bill Gates, because also Eric Schmidt was very involved in the Chinese social credit score. Remember Google China? And then that blew up. But that has, and Fink was involved with that too. So it's just, there's a dynamic going on. And like I say to everyone, you're looking at what you're looking at that the media is feeding you. But there is, like I say, there's a billionaire globalist oligarchy and there's a American faction of it. And both of those guys and Elon Musk are in that group. And I think that they're fighting a different battle than we are, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, let me just throw this. Let me see if I can, you know, introduce a bigger spectrum and a bigger picture. So are some of these people, obviously, well, first, everyone should know when it comes to fifth generation warfare, the world is an actual stage and people believe what they see.
Yes.
And if there's any group of people that are acting and or doing things for the purposes of an end goal is the people at the very top. We see that a lot of entities, not just Media Matters, but Hollywood celebrities and big corporations, they're all panicking about Elon Musk.
Right.
And I think one of the dangers that we should be aware of is looking for perfect saints, these people that have perfect public resumes. In my opinion, and you follow my channel, so you know, people that have perfect public resumes make very poor actors because, you know, they're not convincing the bad guys. So you have to have people that are playing both sides,
right,
that are pushing forward a particular agenda for the purpose of good. And in my opinion, Elon Musk is the masterpiece example of that.
Yeah,
he's working with China while he's doing these things, AI. But he's also exposing the enemy. He's giving a floor to the voices that are then allowing everyone to see the evil for themselves. Because only when people see what's happening, then they're going to find the will to change.
Right.
So there's psychological dynamics there.
Yeah.
So yeah, these villains are out there and high-fiving each other because they know that's what they need to do.
Yeah.
I have a lot of examples of these. Some people get all worked up about my villains. You know, I have a a thing on my channel where I'm always saying, leave my villains alone. This might be an example of that. I've got my villains. In the end, who knows? You know, I could be wrong. I could be right. It doesn't matter. But I think it has to do with the degree to which people believe that there's enough good people that are making a difference, that are fighting back at the same exact level, at the global level, to turn this thing around.
Right.
And I think people should be mindful of that. So then, that's Elon. But then why is Xi Jinping? You're right. I mean, Xi Jinping obviously is the one dark horse, the Trojan horse, sort of difficult. I mean, this guy is involved with COVID. He's involved with the election steal. He's here. He's there. But there is something I want to point out to your audience. A shift took place, if I remember correctly, this year. I want to say February. It could be March. Between February and March, something happened where all of a sudden China and Xi Jinping said, you know what? We're in with Russia. We're going to work with Russia to defeat the Nazis in Ukraine. And at that time, people can go back, read the stories where the Biden administration was panicking about China. And right. Then by this summer, Biden wrote orders punishing China. I mean, for the first time. Up until then, there was no Biden action against China. That started happening this year. And then in the latter half of the year, we've seen, you know, where the Biden administration, they've been negotiating, talking with China all of a sudden. But you're right. I mean, all of a sudden he gets on a plane and he's lapping it off with, you know, Newsom in California. That right. I admit, I'm like you. I'm like, there's a surreal element to this.
Yeah.
And then a few days later tonight, right, we have the big debate with Newsom versus DeSantis right after Newsom secretly met with Xi Jinping. So look, I mean, I'd be foolish to tell you that I know what's happening, but I agree that there a lot of cards are being played at the global level. I am reminded that the world is a stage. Either something big is happening to shift us. Are we shifting from one world order to another?
Right.
And when we're talking about the BRICS nations, and will that be coupled with a collapse of the Western dollar? And why are Trump's enemies on the left? The other day I read where someone was saying, you know, why is Trump still talking good about Xi Jinping? And, you know, they can't believe that Trump to this day won't really attack. I mean, if Trump ever attacked Putin the way that he attacks DeSantis, we'd be in a different world right now.
Right.
So there are things that don't add up. And Trump never really attacks these BRICS nations, these leaders of the BRICS nation, for the most part. So what is happening with that? Are we seeing something else?
Yeah, it seems to me that because this is something else that you know about and you obviously talk about, which is why I watch Bernie, because he's very good at not just he takes the motion out of it so you can see a little more clearly. But what I see is that they are shifting to the BRICS nations cannot be stopped. It looks like on the first of the year, Saudi Arabia is joining them. I just saw Saudi Arabia and China just made their first trade in the yuan of oil and gas. And on top of that, we have this, a lot of people look at the World Economic Forum as if they're some kind of leader. I don't think that. I think that they're like the PR. They're fine with being the front man, you know? And to me, it's really above them with this financial system that's totally collapsing, which is why it's actually Linda Rothschild and the Pope introducing inclusive capitalism. And we have to totally redo everything, which I think the Great Reset itself is about money. And if you look back to, and you know, there's a lot of talk now, and I do see it getting more mainstream about when the COVID operation started, because if you really do look back at that time, at what was going on there, our nation was doing very well, and they knew Trump was going to win again in 2020, a year out. And then we started hearing, and you talked about it a lot too, this march of, well, what if he doesn't leave office when he loses? and everyone, and this started a year earlier, Transition Integrity Project. And as we were getting in, then it was like, and then we heard about the simulation with Podesta, and they did all this stuff to like game it out. I think that was also Brock and Eisen and all the same players, and then the Russiagate. Like, how are we going to stop Trump? How are we going to stop Trump? You know, Fink's out there talking about going direct to the people. You know, we're losing our globalist plan. And then bam, COVID hits, and you know, it's been this wild ride since. But I think a lot of this is about the financial situation and not being able to sustain it much longer because they made a lot of mistakes. And then, you know, having the reserve currency also entails that the rest of the world trusts it. Then the Ukraine thing comes and they steal $690 million of Russia's money in sanctions, which they had done to other people. So I really think that this central banking model has more to do with all of this than people realize.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you would think so, that money's at the center of all this.
Right.
I think that, but in the end, Mel, I think that, I mean, something is happening. You're right to bring have your focus on Xi Jinping. I think, and you're actually, you hit it on the head. I think everyone should keep an eye on China and keep your eye on Saudi Arabia.
Right.
This whole thing started with Trump going to Saudi Arabia back in 2017. And this whole thing ends when Trump walked away with China doing what they did with the whole COVID and all this stuff. So I think these are two nations that if you keep an eye on, obviously with Russia in the center, Russia, China, and Saudi Arabia. But we know where Russia stands, right? Putin is straight about it. So I'm saying in terms of countries that are potentially playing both sides, as it relates to the future right. Of the world.
Right.
So back to my set. Everyone should be wondering. All right. So we have, everyone should be wondering, we have these two world orders, one which is a threat to the other. But now you have these elements, Saudi Arabia, China, that are crisscrossing saying, well, maybe we want to be part of your world order. Maybe you could be. So they're adding to the confusion. Which is what we would expect in a fifth generation ultimate war. I mean, ultimately, people have to decide, is everyone against us? And if so, that means Trump is on their side. I mean, you kind of have to decide who the good guys are, who the bad guys are, where we are going. At some point, people have to trust God, for one thing.
Right.
Trust yourself, the information that we're watching. And I encourage people to look for things that don't add up.
Yeah.
Because when they don't add up, that's a clue for you to say, why does it not add up? Why would Xi Jinping and China do what they're doing, giving Trump this incredible reception, and Trump never really bashes him, while doing what they're doing now? And why would Saudi Arabia do what they're doing? Here's something I want to throw it out before I forget. When we're talking Saudi Arabia and China, one of the things that I'm seeing is their role, each of those countries, when it comes to influencing and maybe even bringing under submission Iran. In other words,
yeah,
Saudi Arabia can and will, with the UAE, when, you know, they have a way. I pointed out to my audience, was it last week or a week, 2 weeks ago, where Iran, initially they were saying that they were going to get involved in the war with Israel.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, this top guy from Iran meets with bin Salman in Saudi Arabia. And all of a sudden, oh, well, we don't want to do anything with Israel, against Israel. So, yeah. And then you have China putting, adding their influence, because they had been supporting Iran. So that gives Xi Jinping the ability to say, look, we've been supporting you.
Right.
You're going to do what we tell you. And so that's, I think those two nations are in position to put others under submission so that whatever is going to happen is going to happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, back to your question about the money. I think everybody's wondering. You're right. We're going to see what happens with the US dollar. One thing I'm reminded is that Trump has said many times, we have liquid gold under us.
Right.
And I think that gives the US, whatever happens during the Biden years, it gives us the ability to recover because we're going to be able to produce our own energy, liquid gold underneath our, under where we are walking, underneath the ground. Think about it.
Yeah, it's really amazing. All this stuff at once. So much is happening. But there is one thing that I like your channel why I watch almost nothing else but my stuff, and I don't have time. But the one thing that you do on your channel brings up a lot of philosophy and a lot of psychology. And here's what I'm also looking at. So whatever the case may be, whatever world order, global governance, they call it, the end of the nation state. If you look at any of their websites, from all the way to the BIS, World Economic Forum, UN, any of them, IPCC, you put in global governance, they're going to tell you the nation state is over. And that's why they need this 2030 plan. But whatever the case may be, are we, now you talk a lot about humanity. You know, I talk about the globalism. You've gone much more back to, and we'll get into the church before we end, but you go much more back to biblical and spiritual and that battle, which I think is the real battle here. Have we as humanity given our authority over and our natural rights that you're born with? If you believe that in God, as I do, and the Bible and all of that, if you believe that every person is born with a gift and from God in their unique DNA and their uniqueness and all of that. And, you know, whether it's 7 billion or 100 billion, whatever it is humanity, there are many more of us than there are of this small elitist group. I say about 20,000 of them actually have a say on planet Earth right now. I mean, they have minions, but I'm talking about the people that actually go from like Bilderberg to the COP conference, to this conference, to Davos, and then sit at the big table. Is it us, humanity, that is allowing this? Because to me, they don't have authority. And all of this stuff is created by man. And now they're all fighting amongst ourselves. And it's like the people of humanity, and there are uprisings in Europe. I guess they've tried it here, not as much as over there. But that without our authority and our willingness and our complying, none of these people have any power. And yet we it's like we, the world, and I mean the world, are waiting to see who's going to win this battle of those guys. And it's like, why are we doing that? And is there a way out of this for humanity where we can shift that paradigm? Because we've accepted it for the last 100 years at least. But I don't know if we have to. Enough people seem awake to me.
Are enough people awake? That's the question. But yeah, this goes back to what we talked about earlier in your show earlier, yeah. That there is the events that are happening. You and I see it. And those of us that are the people that are watching us, they see it. They see not only what is happening, but they see the bigger picture. As in order to see the bigger picture, you have to see the mechanisms of influence. How is it that so many people are going along with this plan? And that goes back to what we said earlier. There is a mechanism that exists that humanity is under. It's a type of enslavement. And it has to do with the way that we perceive authority, the way that we perceive information, how we react to regularly delivered information, and how we react to regularly delivered trusted information, perceived trusted information.
Right.
This is at the heart and soul of psychology, of technology, and of the human domain. Again, there's no way out of it. So the solution is to get people to see the mechanism that we're talking about here. Right. The mechanism that things happen and the masses are convinced to believe X because of this mechanism. And that goes back to this element of groupthink. The other element that I add, see, the groupthink thing has to do with sociology and psychology as it relates to media influence right. Operation. But then there's the spiritual element, which is faith. Nobody relies on what they see on TV to determine what they're going to pray to when they pray to God, or whether they're even going to believe in God.
Right.
You would think, right? Obviously, academia influences that too. But if you already have faith, so faith is a different thing. But all of it is designed to influence humanity. And the goal of Marxism, globalism, and this mechanism that you're describing all along was the deconstruction of Judeo-Christian values. So at the risk of oversimplifying all of this, that's what this is about. It's about deconstructing. They've already accomplished it. And yeah, you're right. This thing you were mentioning earlier about, can't people see it? You know, we're born to look at things our own way and we're free. And yeah, that goes to the question of sovereignty. One of the key strategies of Marxism and Nazism and globalism is to strip away our sovereignty and our perception of sovereignty. Christianity in particular, and other religions, but particularly Christianity, it, you know, when you read the Bible, is all about sovereignty. God looks at each person individual. God right. doesn't look at your political party or what government you're in. So sovereignty is at the center of this. Judeo-Christian values is at the center of it. They've attacked all of these, and these go to the issue of family values.
Right.
And if you really want to keep digging down that hole, once you break a family value, you're talking about children without a mother and a father, or one of the two, single parent homes.
Right.
Or we're talking about children with no parents. And when you're talking about that, we're talking about increase in abortion, promotion of abortion. And we're talking about people, you know, you want to keep digging deeper, then increase in homosexuality or perversion, or, you know, like the 60s, you know, sexual revolution.
Right.
All of that goes together. And if you want to keep going with that, that could have contributed to this whole birth of the whole tranny thing, the trans. So it started off with the breaking up of sovereignty and the authority of the church and the influence, which led to the breakup of the family network, which then leads to feminism and the breakdown of the family, which then leads to, how about fatherlessness? Yeah. And all these hardcore criminals go to any jail, interview the dudes that are in these jails.
Right.
Like, and almost the other all thing, of them have yeah, no the, father.
Yeah. And the other thing on top of that, talking about this two global world orders that seem to be competing for who's going to run it. Because I see that they want to take America off the table. But at that point, then there would have to be a reckoning between the CCP that is godless. The CCP is God. Xi or Mao, they are God in their world. And then the Muslim Brotherhood also, they're going to be like, okay, Xi, you run it. We'll just hang out over here in Qatar and watch. We'll just listen. We'll go with whatever you want in the one world government. Then you're going to have the Davos billionaires and the crown being like, no, we're going to run it. I mean, removing America from the playbook or from the chessboard is not possible. I don't believe God would ever allow this, but we got to start acting like that. I could go on with you forever, but I do want to... So I'm going to have you and I'm going to beg you to come back.
Let me jump in real quick. Yeah, here's something else that's not possible. Right. There will never be world peace. That this idea that CCP is going to say to the Muslim, yeah, we'll do this, you do
right,
that.
Right.
There will never be any peace. We will always be at war. This is biblical prophecies. Wars will continue until Christ comes back. So for your audience, all due respect to anyone who doesn't believe Christianity, but that's the way it is. And there will never be any peace. There will always be chaos. What we're trying to do is restore freedom, at least right. for a little while. And that goes through populism and the nation state. So, yeah, you're right. We're going to see how this works out globally. But I'll leave everybody with this. The world is a stage. People believe what they see. People believe and they act upon perceptions of authority and groupthink. So if we can break the groupthink and get people to think on their own, there goes the solution. I think we're arguably at 10%. What percentage do you think we are? People that are freely thinking on their own. I think a lot of people see it. You're right. And yeah. That's the reason why there is hope.
I think, yeah, me too. And I think it's higher. I think we're at about 25% of the people, okay. Even if they're not, they don't know it like you do or I do, they know something's very wrong. And they know that we're a captured nation somehow. They're not maybe sure by whom or to what end, but they know something is terribly wrong and that it's up to us to actually do something about it. And that has a lot to do with that. Now, I want to have you back because we didn't get into as much as I wanted to into what is going on in the church, but I know that's important. So I wanted to give you a last word here and then ask you if you will come back. That would be great because I'd like to do a whole show just on that.
All right.
But if you could tell my audience just like a final words for now, and then also I want them to follow you and know where and how to keep up with you, because you're amazing and you really put a different spin on it than anyone else out there. And I'm very grateful for your work. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mel. I'll conclude with this for everyone. Everything that we've been talking about, Mel and I, for the last hour or however long it's been, the only way to solve it from a human psychological point of view is to get to the point where people have seen enough of the evil to where they find the will to change. And that is the goal. That's what we've been talking about on Truth and RTV. There is a plan in place, a process taking place that is intended, whether it will succeed or not, only God knows. But the intention of this process is to so that people at a mass level will find the will to actually change. That will be a starting point for what is happening. Thank you, Mel. People can find me on truthandrtv.com. You can go to Rumble on Truth and RTV channel, BitChute as well, DLive, The Foxhole. And I am actually back on Twitter, X, Truth and RTV. People can look for me there on Twitter. And I am also on Truth Social and Getter.
Yeah, and you you really have kept me going, because, you know, when I get lost, you go to you and you kind of break it down and remove the emotion. And a lot of people have to understand you're reacting emotionally and not using your critical thinking. And that's Bernie's forte. So thank you so much, Bernie. I'll see you again. All of his links are below. Please, right now, if you're watching this on Rumble or BitChute, go over and subscribe to Bernie as well. Thank you so much. I will see you again soon. The narrative is falling apart, but as it does, there's so much of this fraudulent disinformation, misinformation, censorship coming from the globalists. And what we need to do is be focused on the facts, cut through everything, be discerning, and get it first and foremost out there to everyone. It is important that you know what is going on. Censorship is getting nuts. You guys know it. There's accounts all over the place that are fake, that are not me. I know you guys send me emails and I really appreciate it. And you report it, and it's on Telegram and Instagram and Twitter, and they're not me. So I'm super excited to announce We the People with Mel K. Be the first to join. It's a VIP community, just you and me behind a paywall, no trolls, no nothing. We get to know each other. I will give you the facts first. I break a lot of stories a long time before other people. We can talk about past, present, future, history, what we're doing now, solutions for going forward, what 2024 is going to look like. I'm going to do breaking news, do a lot of deep dives. I'm going to bring that information to you guys first in a live Q&A every week. So please click the link below and join me over there. We are going to create a community that is censorship proof. It's cancel proof. It's truth. It's transparency. It's on the road to God, country, justice, everything that we want in one place. This is the most incredible, amazing time to be alive. As hard as it seems and as difficult as the battle has been for you guys and definitely for me, all I know is that we all are part of the solution. We are all involved and invested, and you guys have the passion that I have. So let's join together on live Q&As once a week with me, Mel K, we the people of the United States, taking back this nation. This is so exciting, guys. I've been dying to do this, and we finally got the technology right. So please join me. Click the link below. Can't wait to get started. I don't know about you, but I feel a lot better being prepared for whatever's coming. Every day I hear something new. Something's coming from the CDC. Something's coming from the FDA. Who's trying to take over our healthcare system? All this craziness. And what I know is that one man really changed my life, how I look at everything that's happening to me health-wise. And that was Dr. Zelenko. He was a good friend of mine, a good friend of the show. And he came up with the most amazing product. Z-Stack has been a game changer for us. We have not been sick since we've been on it. We take it regularly. If we feel like we're coming down with something, will double up. But he has all new products over at the website. God rest his soul. He did not leave us unprepared, and that is very important for you to prepare. So he's got Z Shield. He's got a Kid Z Stack, which is awesome. He's got Z Flu, Z Detox. He's got all kinds of things. He always said to me, your immune system must be clean, resilient, and resistant. This matters the most. And what I can say on top of that is that he supported me. He supported free speech. He supported medical freedom. He supported personal liberty, and everything that I believe in, he believed in. He inspired me to be myself, to speak up, to speak out. And what matters is that you are feeling healthy, whole, clean, clear, focused, and that your immune system is protected from anything that comes our way. And Z-Stack is the best way to do that. Please stock up on Z-Stack. Go to themelkshow.com. Go to our partners page. Goes down to Z-Stack. That also supports the show. When you buy from our partners, these great people, especially Dr. Zelenko, who is dear to me, you are supporting the show and keeping us going. And I know that truth, freedom, and the First Amendment matter to you. They matter to him. They matter to me. So make sure you're always healthy. You're always out there. You're always standing up. Be brave. Courage is contagious.